Welcome to the Picture Book Look podcast. I'm Kim Chafee.
And I'm Kirstie Call. Together, we'll share some of our favorite picture books and chat with their creators to explore the journey from story idea to bookshelf.
We'd love you to join us as we take a picture book look. Feeling stuck in your creative journey? Needing to change your narrative? Everything you want is possible.
As a therapist-trained life coach for creatives, I'm excited to help authors like you create clarity and build self-confidence so you can achieve your dreams.
Kirstie can help you get the drama out of your life and into your art. Visit kirstiecall.com. That's KirstieCall.com and register for a free consultation today.
Hooray! I can't wait for us to work together to get you where you want to be.
Hey, Kim.
Hey, Kirstie.
So, have you ever felt like you needed a roadmap for your life? Like you could use some concrete directions?
Wow. That's pretty deep for a picture book podcast.
So, true.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. But to answer your question, yes. In fact, I feel like I might need a perpetual roadmap for life just to kind of keep looking at along the way.
Me too. Like if there were a GPS for life, I'd follow it. Destination? Happiness.
Yes. Yes, please.
So
yes,
today, please. Our podcast journey involves the book, The Boy Who Loved Maps, written by Carrie Allen and illustrated by G. Brian Karras. This book gets right to the heart of where we all want to go.
It does indeed. We're excited to chat with Carrie, Brian, and their editor, Anne Schwartz, about this beautiful book. Let's talk.
Carrie, this book is beautiful.
Thank you.
Love everything about it. It's just really spoke to my heart. Where did you get the idea for this story?
So the idea came about because my son, who's 12 now, but when he was like 5 and 6, he loved to make maps. And so he would draw them and he'd ask me to pull them up on my phone so he could copy, or he'd look at the globe and he'd copy from there. And one day he was sketching. And so I just happened to call him my map maker. And I said, oh, wait a minute. That would be a really good idea for a book. And originally that was my original title for the book. But we changed that through the editing process. And so it kind of grew from there. And I loved watching him create. And I figured there was probably other kids like that out there who also were fascinated with maps. And then I've always sort of had a strong connection to home and the idea of home, whatever that might be for someone. And then somehow through the writing of the story, those two themes kind of mesh together.
I love it.
That's wonderful. I love that light bulb moment. You're like, wait a minute, that's an idea for a book.
Yeah, I was like, wait, hold on to that. Don't let that one float away. Write it down somewhere quick before you forget it.
Yes, such a good idea.
Absolutely. So Anne, what was it about the story that made you want to acquire it?
I had actually been wanting to do a book about maps for kids for literally years and years and years.
Wow.
Random House had published a book years ago called Me on the Map that sold phenomenally well. And I was jealous. I wanted to publish a book that I knew would be of a lot of use in schools, that kids make maps in school in, I don't know, first grade, second grade. They learn about maps, but I wanted something that really felt like me, that belonged on my list. And I tried to make a bunch of books. I'd read a lot of manuscripts about maps, but nothing really spoke to me until Carrie's came in. And what I loved about it was the combination of sort of information, like how to make a map, with this really heartwarming story and, you know, this sort of celebration of home and one's neighborhood. So that's what attracted me to it.
Yes.
It really is beautiful.
It is so beautiful.
It does have so much heart in the story. Can you give us a look into what the illustrator selection process was like?
Well, when I think of books of who could illustrate a book that has a lot of heart and has really believable kids, I think of Brian. I love working with
it's
Brian.
It's wonderful.
I've worked with Brian. We've worked together on many books over many years, and he's just really great person and great illustrator. When the manuscript came in, he's really the first person I thought of because of the heart of it and just because of the child-friendly, real kids that were the characters. So I was really happy when he responded to the text, and which isn't always the case, you know, people love different things, but this seemed to speak to Brian, which made me very happy. And I think it's a great pairing of words and pictures.
I totally agree. And that leads perfectly to our next question, which is for Brian. Why did you say yes to working on this project?
I said yes. It was an easy answer for me. I've always loved maps. I was a boy who loved maps. I still am a person who loves maps. And I saw my name on the cover of that book. There was no question about it. Of course, the story had to work for me. And what I wasn't prepared for and didn't understand right away, it took me a long time, was the relationship between the two characters and the story between them and their adventure that day. So I had fun with it on many levels.
That's wonderful.
I
love that you were a boy who loved maps. That's just,
I love that.
That's just perfect.
Me too.
Gary, can you give us a look into what your writing process was like for the story? How was the first draft? How many revisions? What was your process?
Well, you know, I was looking back at my drafts and things like that. And actually, I'm a second grade teacher. So we just recently completed a unit where we, wrote our own books. And to help show them, I pulled up all of my revisions that I had done with Anne and showed them all of the marks and all of, you know, the changes that we made and all of that. And they were like, oh my gosh. And I was like, yep. And here's another one. And here's another one. And here's another one, to really show my students the process. So, you know, the first draft came pretty easily. When I get one of those sort of inspiration moments, which don't come very often, but did with this one, I was able to kind of sketch out the plot of the story pretty quickly. And then went through some revisions with, you know, critique groups and, you know, writing friends, and then my agent. And then when Anne bought it, I think we went back and forth like 8 times with the manuscript or something like that, to make the changes. But, you know, each time the story got stronger and stronger. And I think there were just some things we had to just kind of tease out to make them, those beats, those moments really perfect. But I think like the first paragraph always pretty much stayed the same throughout the revision process, which I think is kind of special. And then it was just a matter of, you know, continuing that rhythm sort of through the whole manuscript. And then Anne had the wonderful idea of doing back matter, which I absolutely love. My students know this. I'm always like, look, the book has back matter. And they get really excited. and so then we worked through that, creating the back matter for the book with activities and sort of things kids can do with maps and different things kids can do with maps, you know, on their own, which I'm really proud of too.
I love the back matter.
I know back matter in fiction books is like such a bonus, right? It's so great. I love it. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. Do you have any writing tips or little tricks that you use when you go and sit down to work on a manuscript? Anything that might help our listeners?
You know, I think a lot of it is trusting the process, trusting your words, making sure that you can really, you know, this is this business, writing books. It sometimes takes a long time, and that's okay. You know, that's okay. I think people think it's supposed to happen overnight, and it doesn't. And, you know, Anne bought this book 4 years ago, and it's coming out now. And I wrote it, you know, 6-7 years ago. So, you know, that's the process is okay. And the process, I think, in some ways is what makes a better book. Because if we hadn't gone through the process, you know, it wouldn't be the book it is today, you know, and I'm so grateful for that. And, you know, Brian's illustrations are incredible. Like I can't even get over how wonderful they are. And, you know, because I am a teacher, I have a lot of Brian's books in my classroom. So, you know, I'll pull them out. Hey. And I'll be like, guys, look at this. My friends, look at this. Like, here's this wonderful book about math or, you know, about pumpkins, but guess what? You know, Brian's the illustrator for The Boy Who Loved Maps, and they get really excited to kind of find those in my classroom library. So that's always fun. Yeah, it's pretty neat.
So fun.
So yeah, I think my advice would be to, you know, time is okay to give things the time that it needs.
That's beautiful and so important, even just in life.
Yes. Yes, to give things definitely
time and space. And speaking of, you know, the editing process and of this story, what was it like for you?
Well, I'm as I think Carrie and Brian too know, I'm sort of a pain in the neck and a tough taskmaster.
I never said that.
No, it's not. You just want me to find another manuscript for you.
I love that. That's funny.
You know, the editorial process is the editorial process. You know, the first step is always, do I respond to what's on the page? And I had a, you know, immediate response to this. And then it's just, it's kind of like going deeper each time you edit the manuscript. The first time is kind of a more general, what's working, what's not working, is Carrie's voice coming through strongly? It's just a kind of a global working through of the manuscript. And then each time you just get a little close, you move in a little closer and a little closer. Mm-hmm. And then you find yourself, you know, fine tuning and picking over individual words or phrases, and then bingo, it's done. And it's on to being a pain in the neck with the artist. So you're done being a pain in the neck with the writer, and then you can move on and be a pain in the neck with the illustrator.
So I'm just curious, Anne, do you have some tips or tricks for people who are submitting?
Well, the first thing I tell everybody is there's an organization called SCBWI, Society of Children's Books Writers and Illustrators. And they, if you're serious about wanting to publish your work, get in touch with them. They know what they're doing. They know how to help aspiring writers and illustrators, and they can give better advice than I can. In terms of me personally, I would say don't try and copy anybody else. Just find your voice, and don't try and sort of think, oh, this is something, like, think, be true to yourself. Think about what you want to write and write it in the voice that you want to write it in. Don't try to be something that you're not. I think that's the most important thing for anybody creative.
It's so
not
important.
Just writing or illustrating. It's just anybody creative.
Agreed.
That's excellent advice. Mm-hmm. Excellent advice. Well, Brian, we've been gushing over your art for good reason. I mean, the heart of the book is not only just the words, but it's that emotional response we get from your art as well. Can you share with us what your illustration process was like for the book?
Sure. Thank you for that too. Yeah. And like I said before, I knew it would be about maps, but it ended up not being so much about maps, but about this girl and this boy. And I felt like I was going through this process of figuring out who they were. In my process, when I was illustrating the book, they're two different, very, very different kinds of characters. He's a real nuts and bolts kind of guy. And she's more of a poet. They both, had their own way of looking at things. And I think that's what my takeaway was, appreciating how people learn and see things differently. He's not as visual maybe as she is, or maybe I have that backwards. So anyway, I needed to learn who they were to each other. And the manuscript left me very little to go with. Carrie, that's a compliment, really. I love
getting... Oh, good.
I really have to think about what's happening here. And so I didn't know this... I didn't know about the boy and the girl. In fact, I had a conversation with Anne about who was this girl? Was she being coy with the boy and knowing what she wanted all along, but not really telling him? And I couldn't see that answer until I got to the end of the book when they make that map together. And he brings his strengths, she brings hers, and they make this map that neither of them could have made alone. I love that. I just love how it came together
too,
for them and for me.
I love it.
Well, we're already to our last question. Anne, we'll start with you. When someone reads this book, what do you hope they feel or learn?
Well, I hope it inspires them to make their own maps and to map their own neighborhood. There's a wonderful section in the back of the book, in the back matter, that will help them with that. And I hope they just enjoy it. You know, it's a great story. And I hope they just really, really have a good time when they're reading it.
I know they will.
Yes, definitely. Well,
definitely. So what about you, Brian? What do you hope readers will feel or learn when they read this
book? I agree with Anne. I think it's a lovely story, and I hope that readers enjoy it. But I also want them to come away with maybe a better understanding of how you can translate your surroundings to a map. I have a friend who's very map challenged, and she can't understand maps. But when I was illustrating, especially the bird's eye scenes, I wanted to make it graphic and clear in a way so that readers could make that jump between those scenes and the map that they created at the end. So yeah, I just to shift thinking a little bit.
I love that.
That's great. That's great. How about you, Carrie?
I hope they come away with a connection either to, a place that's important to them, or a person, you know, that's important to them, and, you know, how to find those connections and document them in some way, whatever that might be, I think is a pretty powerful thing.
A big thank you to Carrie, Brian, and Anne for joining us today and giving us a look into the creative process for The Boy Who Loved Maps. Check out the show notes to learn more about Carrie and Brian and their other fabulous work. Don't forget to follow the podcast so you won't miss an episode, and we would love it if you would leave a review. Thanks for listening, and
happy looking! Picture Book Look is produced by Kirsty Call and Kim Chafee. Music by James Call.